Between the words that I speak and the words that you hear, may the Holy Spirit move. Amen. Who do people say that I am? Messiah or Christ? But keep it a secret. Why the mystery? Three times in this morning's readings, and in three different sets of circumstances, Jesus had said, essentially, don't tell anyone who I am or what I have done. There are many further instances in Mark, but let's just look at the three again. First, the two-stage healing of the blind man in Bethsaida. Jesus took him aside out of the village to heal him. Then Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Though Peter gets it right, it's only the disciples who hear this. You are the Messiah. Only the disciples who are walking with him hear this. And again, this time more firmly, Jesus says, do not tell anyone. Finally, in today's reading, only three disciples, Peter, James, and John, see Jesus shining in glory with Moses and Elijah. These, the greatest prophets of Israel. Again, Jesus commands the disciples to tell no one what they have seen until he has risen from the dead. So again, why the mystery? Why the secret? Messiah means anointed one. The Greek equivalent, Christ, also means anointed one. So what's the problem? Why not shout it from the rooftops? To the people of Israel, Messiah meant king, since all the kings of Israel were anointed. Think of Saul. Think of David. Think of Solomon. David, in the minds of the people, was the greatest, most powerful king of Israel. He enlarged the size of Israel. Solomon brought riches and wisdom to the country. But Jesus was not that kind of king, nor did he want to be cast in that light. So, don't tell anyone. Again, why the secret? Is it humility? Jesus shuns glory. In the Transfiguration, his face shines when he talks with Moses and Elijah on that mountain. But the glory is veiled by a cloud, and it's only transient. Jesus tells his disciples that they must descend the mountain. There is work to do in the valley. Again, Jesus says, don't tell anyone. The text from Mark we heard this morning makes clear why Jesus' status must be kept a secret. Jesus has much teaching to do, to teach his disciples about coming betrayal, denial, suffering, death, and mysterious resurrection. But there's another phase to the teaching. There is more than watching Jesus heal and teach. In reading Mark, which is a very short gospel, we will have heard many stories already of Jesus teaching and healing. How much do you prefer to focus on these teaching and healing activities of Jesus? How much do we prefer to ignore Jesus' suffering? Although the admonishing to be silent happens only to a few, Jesus opens his teachings to the crowd that follow him. If you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. It is not take up Jesus' cross of suffering and rejection. It is your cross, your way of being a follower, the way that fits you. You will note that there is some future tone to his address. Any who want to become my followers. There's no temporal limits. Anyone at any time. So Jesus is speaking to us. Mark has put these teachings at moments at the center of his gospel. The first call of disciples of Jesus is to be disciples who take responsibility, go on their own faith journeys with the living God. And so we are called to go on our own faith journeys with the living God, just as Jesus is doing it his own way. It is our cross, not Jesus' cross. We are not called to take up Jesus' suffering. We are called to find our own way. Suffering for its own sake is not a Christian virtue, nor is it a way to salvation. Every Christian church has a cross as its focal point, one on the altar and one on the window at the back. But our own crosses are nowhere symbolized. I have an associate who does not like or accept the cross as her symbol of faith. I'm sure you've met some of those people. You may be one yourself. But does this repulsion about the cross miss the real meaning of the cross for us? Theologian Paul Tillich tells us that the cross not only points beyond itself, but participates in the reality to which it points. And that reality is the saving love of God for humanity and all creation. When we accept the cross as our personal symbol of faithful living and loving others, we get beyond the suffering of Jesus to loving acts of Jesus in his life, in his act, his death, and his resurrection. There are always daily opportunities set before us to give our lives to acts of love, compassion, justice, and peace. These Jesus demonstrated in his lifetime. A Bible study group talked about carrying the cross not as being about a piece of wood that we carry, but about the ministry that we carry out, the actions, the loving ways that we live. As a visitor to your church, I'm only superficially aware of the ministries you carry, offering hospitality in the name of Christ, the community meals program, support of First United. I see you raised money for the coldest night walk. Educating yourself on welfare rights, on justice rights, sharing your church facilities, working for reduction of poverty through healthy communities, and as we heard in the announcements, the Go-Go program. All of these are ministries you're engaged in. All of these are good things, but there are endless needs. So too often we think of the cross or use the word crosses to bear as if a disease, a chronic disease or a current acute disease, or we think of the cross to bear as lack of opportunity or of poverty. But Jesus teaches, lose your life for my sake or for the sake of the gospel and you will save it. This opens the window for us to live the gospel teachings of Jesus. Our cross is then seen as how we respond to others in need, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the lonely, stand up against injustice. Our cross is our acceptance of the call to faithful discipleship. Sadly, the need is always expanding in our world, close at hand and beyond us. But the comfort and support we give as disciples is limitless when we lose ourselves for the sake of the gospel. The narrative of faith and discipleship involves giving up our lives through self-giving love. When we do this, we reach surprising and ultimately saving discoveries that in giving we have received. To confess Jesus as Messiah is to recognize that discipleship is the way of our own cross. Is the Messiah a secret in your life, or is Christ shared in your acts of love and justice? Is that your way of living? Today, as you leave worship, you'll notice there's a little basket on the font. It contains a number of crosses. Each cross has a different role of a disciple. So I invite you to take one as you return to the world, your world of home, of family, of work, of commerce, of service, of play, and make that cross a symbol of the call to discipleship that we have heard and are called to accept anew. Now let us think of how we are called in our lives, our whole lives from beginning to end, as we sing our hymn of response, "When We Are Living." That is the way of belonging to God and to Christ. Amen.